ದ್ವಿತೀಯ ಮುಂಡಕೆ ಪ್ರಥಮ ಖಂಡ. ತದೇತತ್ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಯಥಾ ಸುದೀಪ್ತಾತ್ ಪಾವಕಾದ್ ವಿಸ್ಫುಲಿಂಗಾಃ ಸಹಸ್ರಶಃ ಪ್ರಭವಂತೆ ಸರೂಪಾಃ ಯಥಾಕ್ಷರಾದ್ ವಿವಿಧಾ ಸೌಮ್ಯಭಾವಾಃ ಪ್ರಜಾಯಂತೆ ತತ್ರ ಚೈವಾಪಿಯಂತಿ ದಿವ್ಯೋ ಹ್ಯಮೂರ್ತಃ ಪುರುಷಃ ಸ ಬಾಹ್ಯಾಭ್ಯಂತರೋ ಹ್ಯಜಃ ಅಪ್ರಾಣೋ ಹ್ಯಮನಾ ಶುಭ್ರೋ ಹ್ಯಕ್ಷರಾತ್ ಪರತಃ ಪರಃ ಏತಸ್ಮಾಜ್ಜಾಯತೆ ಪ್ರಾಣೋ ಮನಃ ಸರ್ವೇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಣಿ ಚ ಖಂ ವಾಯುಜ್ಯೋತಿರಾಪಃ ಪೃಥಿವೀ ವಿಶ್ವಸ್ಯ ಧಾರಿಣಿ ಅಗ್ನಿರ್ಮೂರ್ಧಾ ಚಕ್ಷುಷಿ ಚಂದ್ರ ಸೂರ್ಯೋ ದಿಶಶ್ರೋತ್ರೇ ವಾಗ್ವೃತಾಶ್ಚ ವೇದಾಃ ವಾಯುಃ ಪ್ರಾಣೋ ಹೃದಯಂ ವಿಶ್ವಮಸ್ಯ ಪದ್ಭ್ಯಾಂ ಪೃಥಿವೀ ಹೇಷ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಾಂತರಾತ್ಮ ತಸ್ಮಾದಗ್ನಿಃ ಸಮಿಧೋ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸೂರ್ಯಃ ಸೋಮಾತ್ ಪರ್ಜನ್ಯವೋಷಧಯಃ ಪೃಥಿವ್ಯಾಂ ಪುಮಾನ್ ರೇತಃ ಸಿಂಚತಿ ಯೋಷಿತಾಯಾಂ ಬಹ್ವೀಃ ಪ್ರಜಾ ಪುರುಷಾತ್ ಸಂಪ್ರಸೂತಾಃ ತಸ್ಮಾದೃಚ ಸಾಮಯ ಜೂಗಂಷಿ ದೀಕ್ಷಾಃ ಯಜ್ಞಾಶ್ಚ ಸರ್ವೇ ಕ್ರತವೋ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಶ್ಚ ಸಂವತ್ಸರಶ್ಚ ಯಜಮಾನಶ್ಚ ಲೋಕಾಃ ಸೋಮೋ ಯತ್ರ ಪವತೇ ಯತ್ರ ಸೂರ್ಯಃ ತಸ್ಮಾಚ್ಚ ದೇವಾ ಬಹುಧಾ ಸಂಪ್ರಸೂತಾಃ ಸಾಧ್ಯಾ ಮನುಷ್ಯಾ ಪಶವೋ ವಯಾಂಸಿ ಪ್ರಾಣಾಪಾನೋ ವ್ರೀಹಿಯಯೋ ತಪಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಚರ್ಯಂ ವಿಧಿಶ್ಚ ಸಪ್ತ ಪ್ರಾಣಾಃ ಪ್ರಭವಂತಿ ತಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಸಪ್ತಾರ್ಚಿಷಃ ಸಮಿಧಃ ಸಪ್ತ ಹೋಮಾಃ ಸಪ್ತೈಮೇ ಲೋಕಾ ಯೇಷು ಚರಂತಿ ಪ್ರಾಣಾಃ ಗುಹಾಶಯಾ ನಿಹಿತಾ ಸಪ್ತ ಸಪ್ತ ಅತಃ ಸಮುದ್ರಾ ಗಿರಯಶ್ಚ ಸರ್ವೇ ಸರ್ವೇ ಅತಃ ಸಮುದ್ರಾ ಗಿರಯಶ್ಚ ಸರ್ವೇ ಅಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಸ್ಯಂದಂತೆ ಸಿಂಧವ ಸರ್ವರೂಪಾಃ ಅತಶ್ಚ ಸರ್ವ ಓಷಧಯೋ ರಸಶ್ಚ ಏನೈಷ ಭೂತೈಸ್ತಿಷ್ಠತೆ ಹ್ಯಂತರಾತ್ಮ ಪುರುಷ ಯೇ ವೇದಂ ವಿಶ್ವಂ ಕರ್ಮ ತಪೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಪರಾಮೃತಂ ಪುರುಷ ಯೇ ವೇದಂ ವಿಶ್ವಂ ಕರ್ಮ ತಪೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಪರಾಮೃತಂ ಏತದ್ಯೋ ವೇದ ನಿಹಿತಂ ಗುಹಾಯಾಂ ಸ ವಿದ್ಯಾ ಗ್ರಂಥಿಂ ವಿಕಿರತೀಹ ಸೌಮ್ಯ ಪುರುಷ ಯೇ ವೇದಂ ವಿಶ್ವಂ ಕರ್ಮ ತಪೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಪರಾಮೃತಂ ಏತದ್ಯೋ ವೇದ ನಿಹಿತಂ ಗುಹಾಯಾಂ ಸೋ ವಿದ್ಯಾ ಗ್ರಂಥಿಂ ವಿಕಿರತೀಹ ಸೌಮ್ಯ ಇತಿ ಮುಂಡಕೋಪನಿಷದಿ ದ್ವಿತೀಯ ಮುಂಡಕೆ ಪ್ರಥಮ ಖಂಡಃ. ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೀನ್ ಅಪ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್, but we have to an important lesson now, we have to understand. So this whole of read all the mantras beautifully from the first to the last mantra of the second, the first section of the second mundaka, you can see the srishti, the whole thing is what adhyaropa prakriya. Mean adhyaropa means what? Accepting the universe, taking the universe as real. Yes, there is universe. It exists, it is real, it has been created, it has come from Bhagavan, it has come from Brahma, and Brahman is given the qualification of the Lord Ishvara. Everything has come from Bhagavan. Now there is a real universe which has come into existence from Bhagavan. And Bhagavan is the cause, the universe is the effect. Seeing this and having this understanding is called what? Adhyaropa Prakriya. Okay, now, so we have to understand the last bit, because important mantra this is. So this is the Srishti, okay. This is called, please understand, all these 10 mantras together has presented 10, this is the second, the first section of second mundaka consisting of second mantras have presented the elaboration of creation. And what is creation? We have to remember, in any Upanishad, anywhere, any Upanishad, any type of srishti, creation, discussion on creation should be taken as what? Prakriya or prakaranam. Prakriya or prakaranam means the method of analyzing the creation is ultimately for arriving at the reality, not for establishing the creation. This you must remember. And now this is the srishtihi discussed here. So what is the lesson that we must learn from this? From the srishti. It's not that we should understand it. The lesson is not, oh, Bhagavan is the cause, universe is the effect, Bhagavan has created this universe, or the universe has come into existence from Brahman. This is not the lesson. This is all Upanishad tells us. What exactly lesson that we have to learn from this srishti prakriya or srishti prakaranam? Okay? And the lesson that we need to, please listen carefully, the lesson, the most important lesson that we need to extract, we need to understand from this srishti prakriya is given in this concluding 10th mantra. Okay? And this 10th mantra is an important mantra which is said to be a sutra bhuta mantra. A sutra bhuta mantra. Why sutra bhuta mantra? This is the tiny mantra consisting of two lines which really is pregnant with the main content, teaching. What is the teaching? Let us understand. See, the word, take the word Vishwam. Purushaye Vedam Vishwam. Karma tapo brahma paramrutam. Yetadyo vedanihitam guhayam. So vidya granthim vikiratiha somya. Today this, you must understand in this right, in the class itself. If we take the word Vishwam from the mantra, Purushaye Vedam Vishwam. So Vishwam itself means what? The entirety of the cosmos, the entirety of the universe or cosmos is implied by the term Vishwam. The word Vishwam, Puja Swamiji has unfolded in his Vishwa Sahasranama meanings, and Radhaji has given, if you heard carefully, Radhaji's first, the meaning of the mantra, you would have, can remember. Vividhaihi pratyayihi gamyam is Vishwam. Pratyayaha means a word. Pratyaha means a word denoting a given form. So, universe is nothing but that which is constituted of innumerable countless forms denoted by innumerable countless respective words. Okay, this is Vishwam. So, vividhaihi pratyaihi gamyam. Now, that universe consists of what? That universe consists of karma. Next word we say is karma. The word karma means action. Sometimes the word karma also means what? Karma phalam. When you say sanchita karma, praradha karma, agami karma, there we mean the results of actions. But here the word karma means all forms of activities, secular, sacred, religious, mundane, laukika, alaukika, all forms of actions. Okay, then tapaha. The word tapas means what? All forms of disciplines, all forms of activities, all forms of disciplines. So the universe consists of all forms of activities and disciplines. Idam Vishwam Karma. Now, so when you say the Idam Vishwam, this universe, we must remember what? Subtle elements, then grossified elements, means all five elements. Panchabhutani. Panchabhutani, Sukshma Bhutani, Panchasthula Bhutani. Five subtle elements, five gross elements. And then all the elementals also. So elements, subtle, gross, all elementals. When you say all elementals, which include what? Chaturdasha bhavanani. So the word, there's a word, no? Chaturdasha bhavanani means, say, universe, the entirety of the cosmos or universe consists of 14 lokas, 7 above, 7 below. All the 14 lokas are included in this one word, Vishwam. Then all the living beings, animate beings in terms of animals, plants, etc. Human beings, animals, we have humans are included there. Then all the non-living inanimate things, such as mountains, rivers, etc. So all the animate, inanimate, living, non-living, sentient, insentient beings. So all of them together constitute Vishwam, the universe. And this universe, listen carefully, this universe is karyam. Karyam means what? Effect. Effect means product. And who is the cause for this? Bhagavan, Ishwaraha. Who is Ishwaraha? The absolute reality endowed with the power is given the qualification of Ishwara. And from that Ishwara, the universe has come, means Bhagavan is the Karanam, universe is the Karyam. So between Bhagavan and the universe, there's a what Sambandha is there? Karana Karya Sambandha. According to this Prakriya, there's a cause-effect relationship. Therefore, now we say cause-effect, karna-karya sambandha. Okay. Therefore, what? This whole cosmos as an effect is non-different from Bhagavan, the cause. Just as, let's take the example of pot. Just as the pot is a product effect which is non-different from its cause, clay. Ornament is non-different from the gold. Furniture is non-different from the wood, non-separate from the wood, inseparable from the cause. So also this whole creation is what? Bhagavan. Purushaha eva idam sarvam. The same meaning you have to apply wherever you come across this expression. Purusha eva idam sarvam. Purusha evedagam sarvam. It's a beautiful sentence in Purusha Suktam. This whole cosmos is Bhagavan only. Already you are giving Vishwarupa Ishwara Darshanam. Understanding this fact that this entire universe is non-different, non-separate from Bhagavan is called what? Understanding this fact is Vishwarupa Darshanam of Ishwara. Okay, where is Bhagavan? The whole Jagat is Bhagavan only. Okay. Now, this entire cosmos is Bhagavan. Therefore, this universe, which is said to be the creation of Bhagavan, is what? Creation of Bhagavan is Bhagavan itself, Bhagavan himself. You can say Bhagavan is he or she. Confusion comes. The word Bhagavan is a pullinga shabda. Okay. Bhagavan is neither female nor male. Male, female, everything is Bhagavan. But still the word Bhagavan is a masculine gender shabda. Therefore you can say what? This whole, the creation of Bhagavan is Bhagavan himself. Every sentence I'm saying is very important. The creation of Bhagavan is Bhagavan himself. We can't say son of a father is son, father himself. We can't say that. But here we can say creation of Bhagavan is Bhagavan himself. Therefore, this is Bhagavan himself. Now, what is already we have understood this. Just as all innumerable countless forms in terms of ornaments denoted by countless names such as chain, bangle, ring, etc. All the ornaments with the different names and with different forms are essentially one and the only metal called gold. The gold ornaments are gold only. Therefore, the plurality, the ornaments are many in number, but still no ornament, no form has a substance of its own. If you remove the gold, the chain or bangle or ring, all the ornaments are nothing but non-substantial forms. Therefore, the words denoting those forms also are what? Non-substantial names. The forms and names are non-substantial. They do not have substance of their own. And second thing, and they are not, before the forms came, the forms were not there. Gold alone was. Before the ornaments came, the gold alone was. And after the forms came also, the gold alone is in the form of forms. Again, these forms are subject to change. Therefore, forms, the forms, names and functions, nama rupa karma, which alone is said to be actually jagat, okay? The form, non-substantial forms, names and functions are now time bound. They come and go. Therefore, what? They come and go. The forms and names, non-substantial forms, they're plural in number, forms are plural in number, and they do not have substantiality of their own. They come and go, they're time bound, and therefore what? They are as though. As though what? They do not have, their own existence means what? They do not have independent existence of their own without the cause. Therefore, any effect, any product, any creation, is of these four features. Any effect is of these four features. Effect can be plural in number. Effect does not have substantiality of its own other than the cause. And all effects are time bound in nature. They come and go, and all effects do not have independent existence of their own. Therefore, they're all mithya. Okay, these are the four features of the effect. Now, if these four features of any product, understand these features with reference to golden ornaments or wooden furniture, if we extend these four features to the world also, now world is effect, world is karyam, therefore we have to understand what? World also, that there's a world is of plurality of beings, innumerable countless forms, names and functions constitute the universe. And the world does not have substance of its own, or Brahman or Atma or Bhagavan. Okay? Bhagavan is the substance. The world is nothing but nama rupa karmakhyam jagat. This universe is nothing but non-substantial forms, names and functions which constitute the universe. Then this universe is what? Time bound. It comes, goes, comes, goes, comes, goes. It doesn't become destroyed, but still comes and goes, appears and disappears, appears and disappears, appears and disappears. Therefore it is time bound in anityam, jagat, anityam, jagat. Okay, avastukam jagat, anekam, anekavastukam jagat. Then this is what? Mithya. Why mithya? The jagat does not have independent existence of its own. Like how the chain does not have independent existence of its own without the gold, the world doesn't have independent existence of its own. Therefore, mithya. Please remember these four important features. Okay, anekatvam, avastutvam, anityatvam, then asatyatvam or mithyatvam. Okay. These are four features of the any effect, and universe also is of these four features. Now, okay, this is the first lesson important lesson we derive when we analyze this universe as an effect. Okay, the first important lesson. If universe is this, universe is of plurality, universe is of non-substantial forms, names and functions, if it is time bound in nature, if it is mithya, it is not real. It is not real because it does not have independent existence of its own. It is mithya. Mithya means seemingly real. Then if this is so, then we have to understand what is that Bhagavan then? What about the reality Brahman enjoying the status of being the Bhagavan? So Bhagavan is, now we have to understand the features, the Swarupam of Bhagavan. Bhagavan is one. Why Bhagavan is one? Bhagavan is the absolute reality. Reality is one and Bhagavan is nothing but the absolute reality, ultimate truth. Therefore, Bhagavan is one. Then Bhagavan as the reality, absolute reality is the only substance. Bhagavan is the only substance. Bhagavan is one and the only Bhagavan is the only substance of this universe of countless forms, names and functions. And Bhagavan as the reality is what? Has no cause. Bhagavan as the reality is what? Beginningless, endless, changeless. Therefore, Bhagavan is of the nature of, Bhagavan as the reality is of the nature of timelessness. Bhagavan has oneness. Bhagavan is the substance. Bhagavan has substantiality. Bhagavan enjoys the oneness. Then as the nature, Bhagavan enjoys the nature of timelessness. And Bhagavan is absolutely real satyam. Satyam means what? Bhagavan as the reality, as a beginningless, endless, changeless substance, of which is a nature of timelessness, Bhagavan is the satyam. Satyam means the reality. Satyam means which enjoys its own existence. Okay, satyam implies Bhagavan as the reality enjoys self-existence as the nature. Bhagavan is of the nature of self-existence. Bhagavan is of independent existence. Satyam implies Bhagavan as the reality is of independent existence, self-existence. Bhagavan as the reality is of the nature of timelessness. Bhagavan as the reality is of the nature of being the substance. Bhagavan is one as the reality. So, ekatvam, vastutvam, the nityatvam, satyatvam become the features of Bhagavan. Okay, this is the first lesson we learn. We understand the nature of the universe being mithya and we understand the nature of Bhagavan being satyam. We understand the nature of the universe being time bound. We understand the nature of Bhagavan being timelessness, eternity. And we understand universe is non-substantial forms, names and functions constitute the universe. Whereas Bhagavan is the substance of the whole cosmos. And universe is of non-substantial countless forms, names and functions. Whereas Bhagavan is the only substance of all the forms, names and functions. This is the lesson number one we learned from this mantra. Then, second lesson that we need to learn is, see, even if you have understood many things before, please don't feel tired. It's very important to understand them correctly and assimilate. Okay? You may find it repetitive and all that. Don't ever think. I used to feel the same when I was, let's say, oh, Pamaji, I understand. Why do you repeat it? Then I realized how important it is to listen to the teaching repeatedly. We do, if we feel nirasata, na insipidity, please don't allow it to overcome it, engulf you. Just ignore it, keep listening and take the lessons. Now, second lesson. What is second lesson that we need to learn here? See, having understood the reality as the cause. Okay, when you understand the reality as, when you understand the cause as the reality, and we understand the effects are non-separate from the reality, if cause, knowing the cause is as good as knowing the effect. You need not know the effect. Okay, knowing the cause is as good as knowing all the effects. Why? Because the effect is nothing but the cause. Knowing the cause itself is what? Knowing the truth of all the effects. Knowing the cause is knowing the truth of all the effects. If you understand, okay? Therefore, karana jnanena, karana jnanena, karya jnanam bhavati. Karyam jnatam bhavati. Karanasya jnanena, karyam jnatam bhavati. So knowledge of the cause is having as good as having the knowledge of all the effects. Why? Because the effect is nothing but cause. The effect is nothing but the cause. Wave is nothing but the ocean. Ornament is nothing but the gold. Furniture is nothing but the wood. Therefore, knowing the cause is as good as knowing the effect. So all the effects become known as it were if the cause is known. I'm sure you all remember that specific mantra asked by Shaunaka in the first section. Kasmin vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati. Oh Lord, please tell me what is that one thing by knowing which the entire universe becomes known as it were. The Shaunaka's question itself was, he already understood there must be one cause of the whole jagat from where the universe has come into existence. By knowing that cause, the whole jagat must be, he understands, if it is an effect, and it becomes understood as it were. Therefore, understanding Ishwaraha, understanding Bhagavan is understanding, it is as good as understanding the entirety of the universe. Understanding Bhagavan is as good as understanding the entirety of the universe. Why? Because the universe is non-different, non-separate from Bhagavan, the reality. How can you say that understanding Bhagavan, you can understand everything else? Yes, because all that is here is nothing but Bhagavan. Only Bhagavan is manifest as innumerable countless forms and names associated with innumerable countless functions. The whole jagat is Bhagavan. Therefore, Bhagavan alone is in the form of innumerable countless forms, names and functions. Therefore, understanding Bhagavan is as good as understanding the entirety of the creation. This will become much clearer later on. Now, this is the second important lesson. Understanding Bhagavan is as good as understanding the entirety of the universe of innumerable forms which are nothing but manifestations of only Bhagavan, appearances of only Bhagavan. Okay. Let me remind you one thing here. This is the second important point. That is why the Om is called Bhagavan's sound symbol. You know why? Why Om is a sound symbol of Bhagavan? Om is the name of Bhagavan because Om consists of all sounds. Akara, Ukara, Makara. Three sounds stands for all sounds. All vowels and consonants. And all vowels and consonants stand for all the words. And all the words stand for the forms indicated by the words. And all the forms constitute what? The universe. Therefore, Om is what? The whole universe. Why? Because that is why if you don't know what the name of a given object, you can say Om. Correct. That is why Om is called Pranavaha. Prakrishe Nuyate Iti Pranavaha. I told you, mate, I never get tired of repeating it. It's very important. Prakrishe Nuyate Anena Iti Pranavaha. The Pranavaha, Navaha means name. Pranavaha means a unique name. Why? Because one name can denote only one form, whereas Pranavaha can denote the every object. The one word which can be used as the name of all the objects. You can show this. Etat Kim. You can't say Lekhani Agankari. Om. Etat Kim. Om. This is Kim. Om. That is Kim. Om. Everything can say, you can show everything and say Om, 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 Om. Because everything is Om. Everything is Bhagavan. Okay. That's nothing. I've gone out of the track. Okay. We come back to the lesson. They say Pranavaha is a unique name which stands for all forms. Okay. Navaha is a one word, denoting only one form. Pranavaha stands for all forms. Therefore, Bhagavan is what? Knowing Bhagavan is as well as knowing the whole Jagat. Okay. That is the second important lesson. The third lesson is a very important lesson. Of course, all lessons are important. It's really very important lesson. Now, see, all the forms, names and functions. Nama Rupa Karmani. See, when I say Nama Rupa Karmani, the word karma means what? Function or purpose. Form, name, and it serves a given purpose. It's associated with a given function. So all these Nama Rupa Karmani, which constitute the world, okay, are very useful for what? For our interaction with the world. So for interacting with the world, for transacting with the world. Okay, the forms, names and functions are very useful. And these forms, names and functions, let us not forget, forms, names and functions are of the nature of, are time bound in their nature, and they do not have substantiality of their own, and they do not have independent existence of their own, and they are plural in number. Okay, this, the world of objects of this, these features, these four features, these four features, okay, all forms, names and functions, which are of these four features, are very useful, okay, for our transactions in this world. Important, okay, they're very useful, they're important, that we need those forms for our transacting purpose. For the purpose of transacting in the world, we need forms, names and functions. That's all they can serve. What is the purpose of having, what is the purpose of this universe obtaining in many forms, names and functions? It is only for the purpose of transactions, interactions in this world. That's fine. But even though they are very useful and they're important for our transactions in this world, still they are themselves non-substantial. They do not have independent existence of their own. Therefore, they should not be relied, dependent upon for happiness and security. A non-substantial, time-bound, dependent, okay, these forms, names and functions should not be depended upon, relied on for security and happiness. But what happens? All the human beings, all the entirety of the humanity uniformly instinctively, instinctively, uniformly is searching for security through the positions, possessions, okay, the forms, names, all wealth, etc. The entirety of the humanity, uniformly, irrespective of where you are born, which culture you are born, okay, entirety of the humanity is naturally, instinctively, uniformly searching for security and happiness through the positions, possessions, wealth, etc. Therefore, what the lesson is what? If you understand these features as the nature of the universe, then be prudent that you must shift your dependence from this time-bound arriving, departing, appearance in terms of world to the very substance of the world, Bhagavan. One must prudently, intelligently shift one dependence from the non-substantial world to the substance, Bhagavan. The time-bound world to timeless reality, Bhagavan. Dependent world to independently existent, Bhagavan. The world of plurality, one must shift one's dependence from the plural, the non-substantial plural forms and names to the only substance, Bhagavan. So dependence for security and happiness must be moved, shifted from the world to Bhagavan. Why? Because dependence, depending upon the effect for one's security, will result in disappointment. Because effect itself is dependent. So depending upon the cause is, cause means not person, we say cause, okay? The Bhagavan is what? Prudent living. Therefore, shifting one's dependence from the non-substantial, time-bound, dependent world of plurality to the only secondless, non-dual substance, the timeless reality, which is of the self-existence, is what freeing oneself from bondage. Shifting one's dependence from the world to Bhagavan is freeing oneself from bondage of samsara. It is called moksha. Therefore, what is bondage then? Being dependent on the world for security and happiness is bondage, samsara. Being independent of the world for one's happiness and security is what? Being free. Being independent of the world for happiness and security is being free. That is possible only if you are dependent on Bhagavan, then you can be independent of the world. It is not possible for you to be totally independent. But when you are dependent on Bhagavan for happiness and security, that will make you understand that you are independent of Bhagavan also. Why? Because you are non-different from Bhagavan. Depending upon Bhagavan, shifting the dependence of the world to Bhagavan for one's happiness and security is actually becoming gradually self-dependent. Okay, there's no way of becoming self-dependent unless you shift the dependence from the world to Bhagavan, because you are non-different from Bhagavan. This is what is said to be, and self-dependence is what? Moksha parama purushartha. Self-dependence is what? Moksha, freedom. which is discovering your own Swarupam being happiness. Therefore, here the mantra says, Yaha Yetad Veda. These are three important lessons. Okay? Three important lessons. Yaha Yetad Veda. The person who knows this. Knows this means what? Knows this absolute reality, the ultimate truth, who alone enjoys the status of being the ruler, the lord of the universe, Ishwaratvam, who is looked upon as, who is, enjoys the status of being the cause of the universe, thereby who enjoys the status of being the ruler of the universe, the lord of the universe, one who understands this Ishwara, that person, Ishwara, the truth of the universe, that person, avidya granthim vikirati, that person removes the knot of ignorance, destroys the knot of ignorance. Avidya granthihi, granthihi is stilinga shabda. Granthihi, not. Avidya granthihi means the knot of ignorance is he destroys. This is the important lesson. Now, you might ask the question, why ignorance is called a knot? Why is ignorance meant by the term knot? K-N-O-T, isn't it? Because one knot will tie you. This ignorance is called knot because it ties you. Ignorance is ties you with what? Ties you with you are essentially of the nature of timelessness, but you become notionally tied. Ignorance makes ties you notionally with the body, mind, sense complex. Okay, I am the body, I am the mind. It ties you with what? Because of the wrong ignorance alone, you entertain a wrong notion that you are a limited individual and you are born, you are a mortal. You all notions you have about yourself because of your ignorance. You think you are born, you think you are going to die, you think you are getting old, you think you suffer, you think you have punyam, you think you are papam, you think you are doer, you think you are enjoyer, you think about yourself, all this. Okay? Is what now? Is what entertaining all wrong notions about what you are. The wrong notions about yourself you entertain purely because of this ignorance. Because of these wrong notions, what happened? And you have desires. And because of the wrong notions alone, you have, because of the sense of smallness centered on I, you have, because of the sense of inadequacy centered on I, you have desires. The fundamental desire, not that you want to have a desire. Helplessly you have desire, and the fundamental desire becomes all other desires, and the desires impel you to do karma, and you, with the notion that you are the doer, you perform karma, and you also accumulate punya papams, and you enjoy the punya papam also what, as an enjoyer. This is what one then again and again and again, you are born with the body mind sense complex. Why? Purely because it's samsara. Is purely because of this ignorance. Therefore, ignorance alone ties you with the body mansions complex. Suppose this ignorance is resolved. If this ignorance is resolved, then mind will be resolved for good. When the mind is resolved, the sukshma is resolved for good, means this, you cannot assume another body, you will not be born again. What that which ties you with the, okay, it's called ajnanam, is called karana shariram. That which causes the birth, punaha punaha jananam, is purely because of ajnanam. If ajnanam is resolved, definitely it is not possible for you at all to be born. Many of you think, oh no, I want to be born again. Then be happily remain, as Swamiji used to say, remain blissfully ignorant and Bhagavan will give you bodies after bodies after bodies. Okay. You don't need to worry. Therefore, ignorance alone ties an individual with the body, Therefore, ignorance is called not. And this person removes the knot of ignorance. Who discovers Bhagavan, understands Bhagavan, the obtaining who the truth of the whole cosmos, obtaining as one's own Swarupam. Yaha Veti Saha Avidya Granthim Vikirati Yaha Yetad Veda. Yaha Yetad Veda, one who knows this Bhagavan, Jagat Karanam, as one's own self, he removes the knot of ignorance. Which is the cause of samsara. Okay. Now, what is this? Now we have understood this. Second section is over. First section is over. Now the following section, the dvitiyaha khandaha. Dvitiyaha khandaha of dvitiya mundaka. Okay, the second section of the mundaka open, second chapter, is going to be commentary upon this. Okay, commentary upon the concluding mantra. The concluding mantra, we can say, elaborate commentary of the first section, we can say, or elaborate commentary upon the concluding mantra of the first section is what? The whole of second section. Now, this is where you're going to understand Bhagavan's Swarupam again thoroughly. Okay, let us read the mantra now. What is the nature of Bhagavan? How can you understand Bhagavan? Bhagavan has to be arrived at in terms of its nature. Bhagavan as the reality, listen. How can you understand Bhagavan? Bhagavan as the reality can be arrived at only in terms of its nature. Is it clear? People ask, how can I know Bhagavan? How can I discover Bhagavan? Physically, we cannot attain Bhagavan. So attaining Bhagavan or understanding Bhagavan is what? Understanding Bhagavan as the reality in terms of its nature. What is the Swarupam of Bhagavan? That's how we can understand. The Swarupam of Bhagavan also has to be arrived at. Essential nature of Bhagavan can be arrived at only in terms of its essential nature. Means Bhagavan's essential nature can be arrived only as essential nature of one's own self. Therefore what? Understanding the essential nature of one's own self, you understand the essential nature of Bhagavan. Understand the essential nature of Bhagavan is what? Understanding the whole essential nature of the whole universe. Okay, what is that essential nature? We have to understand. Okay. Now, let us go to the second chapter now. Let us read the mantra. So, dvitiya mundake dvitiyaha khandaha. Have yet to unfold the nature of Bhagavan. Please wait. Dvitiya mundake dvitiya khandaha avisannihitam guhacharam nama. Beautiful how it takes. Look at this. I told you already, understanding Bhagavan is discovering moksha. Understanding Bhagavan is understanding the essential nature of Bhagavan. Understanding Bhagavan as reality in terms of its nature is nothing but understanding one's own essential nature. Therefore, Upanishad, the second section, second mundaka, presents the what Bhagavan is essentially. And when Upanishad says what Bhagavan is, Bhagavan who alone is appearing in the form of innumerable countless forms, names and functions, is essentially formless. And the formless nature of Bhagavan has to be arrived at as one's own essential nature. Now Upanishad discusses that in this second section. Avisannihitam guhacharan nama. I want all of you to memorize these mantras. Okay. Avisannihitam guhacharam nama. Mahat padamatraitat samarpitam. Yejat pranannimishaccha. Yejat பிராணன்நிமிஷச்ச யதேதத்யதேதஜ்ஞானத ஏதத் பிராணன்நிமிஷச்ச யதேதஜ்ஞானத சதசத்வரேண்யம் பரம் விஜ்ஞானாத் யத்வரிஷ்டம் ப்ரஜானாம். ஆவிஸ்ஸந்நிஹிதம் குஹாசரன் நாம ஆவிஸ்ஸந்நிஹிதம் குஹாசரன் நாம மஹத்பதமத்ரைதத் சமர்ப்பிதம் ஏஜத் ப்ராணன்நிமிஷச்ச யதேதத் ஜானத சதசத்வரேண்யம் பரம் விஜ்ஞானாத் யத்வரிஷ்டம் ப்ரஜானாம். ஆவிஸ்ஸந்நிஹிதம் குஹாசரம் நாம மஹத்பதமத்ரைதத் சமர்ப்பிதம் ஏஜத் ப்ராணன்நிமிஷச்ச யதேதத் ஜானத சதசத்வரேண்யம் பரம் விஜ்ஞானாத் யத்வரிஷ்டம் ப்ரஜானாம். சதசத்வரேண்யம் பரம் விஜ்ஞானாத் யத்வரிஷ்டம் ப்ரஜானாம். ஆவிஸ்ஸந்நிஹிதம் குஹாசரன் நாம மஹத்பதமத்ரைதத் சமர்ப்பிதம் ஏஜத் ப்ராணன்நிமிஷச்ச யதேதத் ஜானத சதசத்வரேண்யம் பரம் விஜ்ஞானாத் யத்வரிஷ்டம் ப்ரஜானாம். Okay, now let us understand what this mantra says. Now every verse is beautiful, the whole chapter, this whole section, you will all enjoy it. Very beautiful mantras we have. Lot of clarity will come here. So here it is said, in every verse presents the swarupam of Bhagavan, essential nature of Bhagavan. Now, we know in what form Bhagavan is. We can say the whole Jagat is Bhagavan. Now, we understood this fact. All forms are Bhagavan. All forms are appearance of Bhagavan. But what is the Bhagavan? How is the Bhagavan who alone appears in all these forms? That we do not know. If you ask a gross example I give you, what is that which appears in the form of a wave? You will say water. What is it which appears in the form of an ornament? You say gold. What is that which appears in the form of furniture? You say wood. But what is that which appears in the form of these countless forms of the world? We know all these forms are appearances of Bhagavan. But what is that Bhagavan? We wait to understand. So this mantra, all these mantras tell you what is that Bhagavan? Who is that Bhagavan? Who is the form of this Jagat? So, Bhagavan is, we have to understand one important thing. If Bhagavan is the Jagat Karanam, universe is the Karyam, cause always obtains in the form of existence. The cause, you can't search for the cause elsewhere. The cause is very much there where the effect is. You can't search for the cause elsewhere. You have to search for the cause exactly where the effect is. Because effect is non-separate from the cause. You search for the gold exactly where the bangle or chain is. You search for the water where the wave is. Similarly, you have to search for the cause only where exactly the effect is. And if you search, you must see the cause obtains in the form of existence of the effect. Why? Because the existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. The effect does not have existence of its own. Therefore, when you see the existence enjoyed by the effect is Bhagavan. Existence, if you take, what is the meaning of the word existence? You cannot see existence. You cannot see through physical eyes. Existence is formless. The existence is abstract, the word in denoting an abstract truth. So you can only see chain is means bangle, the gold is. Gold alone is in the form of a chain. Similarly, Bhagavan alone is in the form of the world means Bhagavan as the Jagat Karanam obtains in the form of existence of the universe. Because existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. Existence of Bhagavan is existence of the universe. But what is his existence? Bhagavan is, existence is changeless reality. The pure existence you see. Okay, you see the gold obtaining in the existence of an ornament inseparable from it. Similarly, Bhagavan who obtaining in the form of existence of the whole universe. Now we have to understand it. And existence is what? Changeless reality. Existence, we have to remember all those features. Bhagavan is one, therefore existence is one. Bhagavan is the substance, existence is the substance. Bhagavan is timeless, eternal, where existence is what? Beginningless, endless and changeless. And existence is the truth. Existence is the reality. It won't be very clear now itself. What is it, existence? We have to understand. So Bhagavan is of the nature of existence. Pure existence. Now still doubt is, what is it which lends existence to the universe? Yes, we have to come. That's what the mantra teaches. But I had to prepare it to understand the meaning of the mantra. Therefore, so existence is the cause. The cause is known of existence. But Bhagavan is always available for recognition in the form of changeless existence in all the changing forms and names. Changeless existence in all the changing forms and names. Okay. How do you say the changing? In fact, swap. This is called Satta. The Satta or Sat. Sat means existence. Satta means existence. So Bhagavan Satta Swarupaha or Sat Swarupaha. Bhagavani Sat Swarupaha or Satta Swarupaha. Any cause is Sat Swarupam. But here Bhagavan is the absolute. Nothing beyond Bhagavan. Bhagavan is Sat Swarupaha, Satta Swarupaha. Bhagavan is of the nature of existence. So Bhagavan obtains in this world in the form of changeless existence of the changing world. This is what explained. Actually, let me make it very clear. See, in 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the word Sat is given. Nasato vidyate bhavaha, na bhavo vidyate sataha, ubhayorapi drishtontaha, dvanayostatva darshibihi. There what is sat, what is asat, what is tucham. These three are defined. I tell you, first class will be like this, please bear with me. Sat means real. Asat means unreal, tucham. Tuccha means unreal. And we have one more word is mithya. Mithya is that which is neither real nor unreal. That which is as though real. So sat, tuccham, mithya. Three words. Asat means tuccham, asat means mithya also. Like two words here. So sat is that which has no beginning, that which has no end, that which is always, that which is changeless, that which does not have, that which exists on its own, independently. That is Sat. This is the definition of Sat. Okay? So now Bhagavan is Sat Swarupaha. So existence is what? The very nature of Bhagavan. Now, what we have to understand here, how Bhagavan is changeless existence in the changing world. Listen, you take a pot. The pot, when the pot is, with reference to pot, clay is the cause. And in the form of the pot, the clay is. The pot, before the pot came, the clay must have been, isn't it? The clay was before the pot came. Clay is even after the pot has come. And the pot is broken. Pot is broken. The pot form has gone. But still clay continues to be there as what? Existence of the broken pieces of the pot. So clay in terms of existence is continues to be there in the changing pot form. I'm giving example, gross example. And Bhagavan as pure existence is always there. Before the universe came, Bhagavan was in the form of existence. Now even the form of world, Bhagavan is in the form of existence of the world. Even when the world becomes resolved, still Bhagavan will continue to be there as the existence. Existence doesn't undergo any change. But to understand one point here first. Then, and what is this existence, if you understand? Okay, the existence, Bhagavan is available for recognition in the form of existence in all the objects which are of the nature of inertness. Bhagavan is available for recognition in the form of existence principle in all the forms which are of the nature of inertness. Inert things. And what same Bhagavan who is in the form of existence of all the inert forms, names and functions, Bhagavan is in the form of pure consciousness in all the living beings. Bhagavan, who alone is in the form of existence of all the non-living, inert, inanimate, insentient forms, names and same Bhagavan is in the obtaining in the form of consciousness, changeless consciousness in all the living beings. Means available for recognition in the form of consciousness. Bhagavan is available for recognition in the form of consciousness in all the living beings. Okay, therefore, in the second, please understand, in the second section, now we are entering into the Surup of Bhagavan, where our attention is going to be mainly on pure consciousness. When you understand already Bhagavan as the cause, means you understand Bhagavan is in the form of existence of the world. But now what is that Bhagavan who is in the form of existence of the world? Because any cause obtains in the form of existence of the effect. And what is that Bhagavan who is in the form of existence of the universe? What is that existence? We have to say that existence is nothing but consciousness. Like gold is the existence with reference to ornaments. Water is the existence with reference to ocean. Wood is the existence with reference to the furniture. What is the existence with reference to the whole Jagat Bhagavan? So what is that Bhagavan? What is that which is in the form of existence of the whole Jagat? Okay, Shastram says consciousness. So Bhagavan, so now in this section, the consciousness being the essential nature of Bhagavan. Is brought to light. So that our whole attention will be on this consciousness. And consciousness also is what? Consciousness is one. Consciousness is secondless. Consciousness is non-dual. And consciousness is of the nature of timelessness. Eternal consciousness is beginningless, endless and changeless. Now we can say all of us are conscious. All human beings are conscious of their own existence. All human beings are conscious of the existence of the world. We are all conscious of our situations. We are conscious of our surroundings. We are conscious of our elements. We are all conscious of the elementals. We are all conscious of our sense organs. We are all conscious of the sense objects. We are all conscious of our experiences. We are conscious of the pain. We are conscious of pleasure. We are conscious of suffering. We are conscious of time. We are conscious of space. So we are conscious, conscious, conscious. We are all conscious. And we are all conscious of changes. We are all conscious of changes. You must be with me, okay? We are all conscious of fivefold objects. We are conscious of shabdaha, sound. We are conscious of sparshaha, touch. We are conscious of form, rupani. We are conscious of rasaha, taste. We are conscious of gandaha, smell. We are conscious of fivefold objects. We are conscious of five sense organs. We are conscious of functions. We are conscious. Therefore, now I'm changing my sentence from plural to singular. Okay. I am conscious of things around me. I am conscious of the changes happening. You must be very attentive here. You must be with me. I am conscious of changes. So, whatever I am conscious of is subject to change. Whatever I am conscious of is subject to change. And even though whatever I'm conscious of is subject to change, but the fact I am conscious, that I am conscious of, is a changeless, continuous factor. Okay, whatever I am conscious of is subject to change or is changing. Whatever I'm conscious of is constantly changing. That I am conscious of is a changeless, continuous factor. Therefore, I am conscious of the childhood, I'm conscious of young age, I'm conscious of old age, I'm conscious of health of the body, I'm conscious of sickness of the body. Therefore, I'm conscious of body undergoing changes. Be with me, don't go away. I'm conscious of my body undergoing changes. But that I am conscious of continues to be the changeless entity. Therefore, what now? I am conscious of the consciousness. I'm conscious of the consciousness. But what now? Consciousness is what? Changeless entity. Unchanging, unchangeable, changeless entity. Pure consciousness is a changeless, unchanging, unchangeable entity available for recognition in this constantly changing body. Therefore, the unchanging, unchangeable, changeless consciousness available for recognition, obtaining within this body, mind, and complex is Bhagavan. See, the lesson is not over, okay? Now, this physical body which is subject to change, the mind which is subject to change, the thoughts which are constantly arriving and departing, the physiological functions, all these objects, what I am conscious of, I am conscious of the body, conscious of the thoughts, I'm conscious of the mind, I'm conscious of these pranas, what I'm conscious of, all subject to change. The objects of my knowledge are what? Are all part of this changing world. So this body, mind, sense complex also is what? Part of the changing world. Objective universe. So this world is subject to, the body is subject to change. The changing body is part of the objective world. Changing mind is also subtle matter which is part of the objective world. So changing body, mind, sense complex is part of the objective world. And what is here in this individual? The unchanging, changeless, unchangeable consciousness principle, which is ever available for recognition in all three states of the mind. The states of mind are states of experience. The dream state, waking state, deep sleep state, waking state changes. There's a deep sleep state, then there's a dream state. Again, there's a deep sleep state. Again, there's a waking state. The states of experience are constantly changing. And in the states of mind, in this changing states of mind as changing states of experience also forms part of the objective universe. Therefore, everything is changing. So the waking universe disappears, and then there's a dream experience. The dream world goes, the waking world comes. When sometimes both subtle world, dream and the waking world disappears, it's just this blankness of mind. So all this, I'm conscious of the gross world, I'm conscious of the dream world, I'm conscious of the unresolved world. Blankness of mind where I don't, I'm conscious of the non-experience of the gross and subtle world. I'm conscious of always. Therefore, the states of experience change and differ from each other. Objects differ from each other. All experiences differ from each other. But the consciousness does not change, does not vary, does not differ. Therefore, consciousness is that unchanging, unchangeable, changeless, pure consciousness, which is all pervasive, but which is available for recognition in the human mind, obtaining in every individual being is Bhagavan. Okay. Okay, Bhagavan, absolute reality, having the status of Ishwaraha. Okay, it is this pure consciousness alone is in the form of the existence of the whole jagat. It is consciousness which is in the form of existence of space. Space doesn't have existence outside of consciousness. You are conscious of space, therefore space enjoys existence. You are conscious of time, therefore time enjoys existence. You are conscious of objective elements and the elementals, therefore elements and the elementals enjoy existence. You are conscious of all fivefold objects, sound, form, color, taste, light, etc. Therefore, they all enjoy existence. Therefore, consciousness is in the form of existence of the universe. Absolutely. Therefore, existence is consciousness. Consciousness is existence. Therefore, it's all preparation only for the first mantra, okay? Therefore, Upanishad wants to take our attention, grab our attention to the pure consciousness, Swarupam of Bhagavan. Where is consciousness? You must ask where consciousness is not. Whatever you are conscious of exists in consciousness only. Therefore, consciousness pervades time, consciousness pervades space, consciousness pervades all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space. Therefore, consciousness is all pervasive, and that consciousness is available for recognition, not as an object, but as the very swarupam of the subject, the experiencer, knower, as one's own self. Therefore, Upanishad now wants to show how Bhagavan is absolutely abstract, formless consciousness, obtaining as the truth of I, the first person singular pronoun I. So, we are going to see in all the mantras of the second section of Dvitiya Mundakam, we are going to understand Bhagavan's Swarupam obtaining as the content of I. So Upanishads really makes us place our attention on the consciousness obtaining within this body, mind and complex. So Upanishad is going to tell, make us understand how this consciousness is of the nature of changelessness, and this changeless consciousness is Bhagavan, which alone is in the form of existence of the universe. Therefore, Bhagavan who is in the form of consciousness, Bhagavan who is none other than consciousness, the consciousness principle alone is appearing in the form of the universe with what? With the innumerable countless forms and names. So the only substance appears as varieties of ornaments. The only water appears as the ocean full of waves. The only Bhagavan in the form of consciousness is appearing as the abstract consciousness alone is appearing in the form of gross forms, names and functions. Therefore, consciousness is the essential swarupam of the jiva, which is Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is the swarupam of the jiva in terms of consciousness. Therefore, what does it mean now? Parama Atma Bhagavan and Jiva Atma, the individual, are essentially one and the same. There's no Parama Atma, there's no Jiva Atma. Jiva and Parama are two qualifications attributed to the only consciousness. And the consciousness is implied by the term Atma because of its nature of all pervasiveness. Sarvam apnoti iti Atma. That Atma is one. Jiva is a qualification. Parama is a qualification. The qualifications are not. They come and go. But Atma, the reality, obtaining in the form of consciousness, implied by the term Atma, is Bhagavan, which is the content of I, the truth of I. Just as the truth of wave is water, the truth of ocean is water, one and the same water, H2O, here the truth of the I, the truth of the world. I, the first person singular pronoun, is what? A substantive. World is a substantive. The only substance of these two substantives is consciousness, existence. Sat Swarupaha Chit Swarupa. Sat Chit Swarupaha is Bhagavan. Okay. Now, hereafter, by way of presenting Bhagavan in the form of consciousness obtaining as individual Swarupam, Upanishad also presenting what? Mahavakya mantras. Because mantras which serve as the Mahavakyams, which reveal the identity, essential oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma. So this portion we are going to see is going to be of subtle teaching. And the teaching will become much clearer if we patiently listen. We go through what is being said here. Okay, now we are entering into the first mantra. I have prepared you for this mantra. Avisannihitam guhacharan nama. Avisannihitam guhacharan nama mahatpadamatraitat samarpitam yejat pranan nimishaccha yadetat janatha sadasadvarenyam param vijnanad yadvarishtam prajanam. Now we have to enter into the, all this I have said now is only preparation for entering into this mantra. Okay. Now it's time. We will actually see the unfoldment of the mantra next class. That's tomorrow. Okay. So tomorrow we'll see. It's only preparation for entry in the second chapter. I've done. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Rubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.